The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Well, we've certainly enjoyed the journey over the last 5 weeks as we've tackled these five things that we should say more often. And I'm sorry, I forgive you, I was wrong, I need help, and today I love you. Caught up with a few of our seniors through the week and I asked them, why did the previous generations sometimes find it difficult to say, I love you? Very interesting, the response. But the common theme that came through was, I think they felt it was more important to demonstrate that they loved us than to say they loved us. And I kind of think that today's generation's gone to the other extreme. I think now we say, love you, I love you, about a whole heap of things, but often perhaps our actions aren't always showing that we do love a person. And maybe we've got to somehow strike a balance in the middle. But this is a really important thing for us to say, I love you. Here's some of the reasons that were given in a straw poll or a survey as to why it's difficult to say, I love you. Because it puts you in a vulnerable position. You've opened up your heart and you could be hurt by rejection from the other person. Or because there is a difference in saying, I love you, and I am in love with you. Most of us crave love, but many are afraid of the commitment. Because they are very strong words. You just don't throw that around. You have to sincerely mean it. It should only be easy to say it if you really mean it. Because the feeling may not always be mutual, and that makes it really awkward. Because no one wants to put themselves out in such a vulnerable position because they will be rejected. There's a common theme here, isn't there? Because once you say it, you can't take it back and you just opened yourself up wide for good or bad. Because most of the time it's hard because it isn't love anyway. We must understand that love is an action word and not just a feeling. Because to say I love you takes 3 seconds, 3 hours to explain, and a lifetime to prove. I spoke to one of our seniors who said her husband basically said, I love you on the day that they got married, never said it again because he'd said it once and that should stand for all eternity. And he actually demonstrated it, actually showed it in a variety of ways. Very interesting. Because I want to tell you how much I love you, but it's so much that I just can't put it into words. That's not bad, is it? Love you is not big enough. It's interesting that the context into which the scriptures and the gospel came was a very interesting context. There were the Romans, there were the Greeks, there were the Jews, and there was this kind of love-hate relationship. And a lot of people were opposed to one another. It's just in Judea, you find that there were classes and groups of people that really detested one another. They struggled to get along with one another and they couldn't speak well of the other race or the mixed race of people that were around them. And I think it's true that today more than ever before, people are crying out in our world to be loved. And love would be recognised as man's greatest need. I remember when I was studying sociology of religion in an arts degree, we were making all sorts of comparisons, and part of the course meant that we had to do psychology. And I was able to do a course in pastoral psychology. Keith Farmer actually was the tertiary lecturer. And it was very interesting because at the time we were asked to work on an assignment. And I came across a master's degree piece of research. And this man had done a lot of research And it was so well accepted in psychology circles that it was published into a small booklet. But it was controversial, and it was controversial for this reason. This is what he said. This is the basic thesis. He said, doesn't matter whether you're a psychiatrist, whether you're a clinical psychologist, whether you're a psychologist, or whether you're just a counsellor who's qualified to counsel. A mechanic, a sportsman, someone who has a shop, somebody who has their own micro-business, a neighbour, can be more effective than those trained to be a counsellor if they have a genuine love for the other person. Interesting. I mean, if you have a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a counsellor who has a love for you, then you're probably getting the best of both, aren't you? And that's obviously desirable. But the reality is, love was the difference so often in bringing about a change or helping people move forward. And it's very important that we understand. I mean, Jesus said this, you will know them by the love they have for one another. We love because we have been loved. We have a capacity to love because we've been loved, and we'll touch on that. Now, In your Bibles, you'll see in the outline there, I've given you just a little intro in the Bible and love, and there are four Greek words, and I'm not going to go into them this morning. We've done it a few years ago, but I do want you to see something here. Eros, where we get erotica and all of the porn area of the world, means sensual desire, and it can be taken into a very negative place. In its pure form, it's to enrich a marriage and a relationship. It's sensual. Philia, where we get the philanthropic, etc., is friendship. It's thinking of man. And so that word has been brought into the English language to describe somebody who is genuinely interested in the concerns of other people. It's another term that's used in the scripture. Storge is another Greek term, and that's speaking of familial love. It's family. It's speaking of the fact that blood's thicker than water. It's speaking about those that we are related to in our own biological families and those that we would bring into that circle. And the final word, and the word most used in the New Testament in particular, is the word agape. Agape love. And this is a supernatural love. It's actually the love that God has for us, and it's a capacity that he gives to us to be able to love others. It's demonstrated ultimately through Jesus' death on the cross. But agape is love because of the character of the person loving, not the object. Now, all of us have some difficult people in our world, right? Right? Don't you have people in your world that are hard to love? I got a few in mine, I can tell you. I got a few neighbours. I've got a few people that don't like us for whatever reason. They're a challenge. All right? We've all got people like that. Now, this is where the love of God moves into a new dimension, because we begin to see those people through the eyes of God, and he will give you the capacity to love them if you have hearts that are open. And the reality is, our love for them can, and over time does, make an incredible difference. You see, agape love because of the character of the person loving rather than the worthiness of the person that's being loved. It is love in spite of rather than love because of. We find it easy to love the likable, easy to love the people that we have a natural affinity to. The one distinctive of the church should be the capacity we have as human beings to love people who are different to us, who are new in our world, who we don't naturally gravitate towards. And that's something that comes from God. So often the world lacks it. So how can we love this way?
If it's important to say I love you and to back it up, and I want to suggest it is, and we'll finish with this in application. If it's important for us to do this, how do we love other people unconditionally? I'll give you five keys, suggestions for you. All right? Recognize that God's love is a four-letter word. Now, you're taught not to use four-letter words. Well, this one you can. It's give. All right? That's basically what love is. It's giving to others. It's not about you. So first key is this. God unconditionally loves us. He loves you. He loves me. In Romans 5, the scripture says that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is agape love. This is the love of God reaching out. And I want to suggest to you that love is vertical. It's between us and God. Agape love is vertical. It's between us and God before it's horizontal. If you're having a difficulty really loving another person, the problem is here more than here. Can I say that again? If you're having a struggle loving another person, the problem is here between you and God more than it is between you and the other person. We need to allow God, we need to embrace the love of God. And as he loves us, he gives us the capacity to love other people in our world. I don't know about you, but for me, that is an incredible challenge. I go to the same Coles to do our family shopping when I have the opportunity. And I've got two checkout chicks that I've picked on. Both of them were miserable. You ever been to a checkout girl who, you know, this is an endurance. She doesn't really want to serve you. You ever been to people like that? Well, I reckon they're a great challenge. They can become an object. And I can see them as miserable as anything, and they'll see me five people back in the queue and they smile at me now. Now, it's not work for me quite the way it used to work when I was in the immigration department. Because when I served in the immigration department, I had a place I went to for lunch every day. And I learnt that if you pay a compliment and you love on people enough, they like you. And my servings were always twice as big as anybody else's. Nobody could ever work out why. And it was because I paid them a compliment every day. And I was bigger then than I am now, I can assure you. But it was a great experience of experimenting in this whole area. And recognizing that what God's word says is actually true. And I love the fact that I can come down that queue, get to my girl, smile, show appreciation, make some sort of compliment, be genuine about that, because there are things they do, but being genuine about that and bring some sort of ray of happiness into their life. We've got our greengrocer. He's in Welwyn Street. We've got all these different people. I've got the one service station I always go to. I've got two men I always hope are on duty. All of these people that you can build relationship with and express something of the love of God to them as you interact. And I tell you, it's a wonderful privilege. You can only do that if you have received and accepted the love of God. And the fact that he loves you unconditionally. Secondly, God commands us to love. Oh, we don't like that. But the reality he does. It's an imperative. God commands us to first love him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Everything about you, love God first. That's the starting point. Second, love your neighbor as you love yourself. All right? God loves us, that helps us love ourselves, then we have a capacity to be able to love another person and another human being. Look at 1 John 3, 7 and 18. Great challenge late last year when we read this in our journaling to me. If anyone has material possessions, sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, Can the love of God be in him? Wow. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. What a powerful statement from God's word. That we're to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. Our son Josh, as you know, is in Philadelphia at the moment, and he's studying international justice and development work, and has found his calling in the Lord, and it's very exciting for us as a family. He came back to me and he said, "Dad, when are you going to stop your handouts?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, we've decided not to do handouts anymore." He said, "I wonder how many of your people, I wonder how many times you and Mum," he said, "I know we've had a lot of people in our homes," but he said, "when are you going to start, instead of giving something to people, actually invite the people you're giving to into your own home and share a meal with them?" Moves it to a new dimension, doesn't it? He said, "Felicity and I, two nights a week, we're going out into Philly." He said, "There's 30% of the people that are unemployment or living on the streets." He said, "We're finding people and we're taking them into a cafe and feeding them. We don't have room in our one-bedroom apartment." And he said, "We are learning stories every night that are breaking our hearts." He said, "It's changing our lives." You see, people, you see your fellow brothers and sisters that we call Aussies and we celebrate the great Aussie spirit. How are we going to actually go to that next dimension of loving? And they are a constant, Josh and Felicity, challenge to us as a family and our own walk with the Lord in this. Look at, and then when you think you're doing okay, look at the third aspect. God even commands us to love our enemies. Got an enemy? Find a way of blessing them. Find a way of loving on them. And we've got some challenges in different dimensions of our life at the moment, and it's been fun to love on some people who are totally not expecting it and to see what it does, to disarm them. The Bible actually says it heaps coals of fire on their head. It brings about a bit of inner conviction in their lives. Okay, number three, key number three. We cannot love in our own strength. We cannot love in our own strength. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. We need God. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. God wants to love other people through us. And we need to be available. And the reality is, key four is we can love with God's love. Look at verse 5 again. He's poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He gives us this capacity to supernaturally love another human being. Key number 5, we're to do it by faith. You don't have to wait for the right feeling. It'll never happen, probably. All right, you've got to do it by faith. And we know that faith is the key to pleasing God. So just as we're saved by faith, we're actually filled by God's Spirit through that faith. Let me explain to you again. I've talked in the past about spiritual breathing. Spiritual breathing is where we breathe out the dross and we take in the power and the enablement of God. So we confess our struggle to love somebody. And because God has commanded us to love somebody, like in John 15 there, in that text, this next text, as we are commanded to love each other, we know that if we ask God to do something that he has commanded us to do, he will do it because he keeps his word. So, Lord, I don't know how to love this person. Or I don't know how to do this, but I ask you to move through me and to help me, so you can love by faith. And you take hold of any command of God, and you'll see in 1 John 5, 14 and 15, he will give you what you ask of him, when you ask according to his will. Now, if God commands us to do something, that's his will, isn't it? So if we do it, He comes through. And he changes circumstances. He really changes circumstances and situations for us. So as I wind up this morning, I want to give you some practical application. Just four simple things. Firstly, we need to say, I love you. You remember the Rod Stewart song? Have I told you lately how much I love you? All right? We need to say, I love you. Some of you find that more easy than others. But we need to actually say it. If God says it, we need to say it. Speak the truth in love, Paul says. We need to say, I love you. I want to suggest to you, you can say, I love you in writing. Some of you find it hard with the words. Put it down on paper. God did. God told us he loves us. We read about it. Look at Psalm 32. The Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts him. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's told us in writing, so you can write it. Several times through the years in pastoral counselling, I've found couples that find it difficult to express love, and I've given a little assignment to a husband or to a wife, and I said, find 30 different ways for the next month to say to your wife or to say to your husband, I love you, and you cannot repeat away. Chocolates, flowers, card. I'm struggling. You know? There are so many different ways. I've had songs written, music written. I've had old poems written. There's a bit of art. There's all sorts of creative ways that people have said, I love you. Just to get across, we're committed to you. It's more than words. It's coming from the depth of my being, and it changes relationships. It might be something that some of your marriages could do with. A month of saying to your husband or your wife a different way, I love you. Number three, say I love you through appropriate touch. I'm a touchy-feely person. I love a hug. I used to love the hugs my father and my mother gave me. I grew up under my dad's arm. I've got my father's coat in our spare room, and about once a week I have a sniff of it because I can still smell dad. Does something for me. I appreciated the physical affection of my father and the engagements that we had in life and sport and so many other things. One of the men who made the greatest impact on Julie and my relationship and our marriage was a man called Ian Borum, a missionary to Spain. We sadly lost him. His wife turned 65 just a week or so ago, and we spent half an hour talking to her. And we've journeyed with that family all these years, but Ian was a big man with the biggest hug, and everybody loved an Ian Borum hug. Didn't matter who you were. Appropriate touch. Jesus touched people that no one else touched. You may not be a touchy-feely person. You're a challenge to me. I want to actually feel a sideways embrace, and then I know I'm getting through. Something needs to break. We need to express physical affection. Say I love you through small acts of love, of kindness. Dear children, don't love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. There's a man in this congregation this morning who probably still to this day doesn't know the impact that his regular phone calls made for me when I went through one of the darkest periods in my own life. Because almost every day for weeks, he just rang me and said, how are you going, John? How are you traveling? It was an act of love and an act of kindness from one of our leaders that made an incredible difference to me. We need to do things that express that. So let me wrap it all up. Maybe you need to put it in writing. Maybe you need to say it. Maybe you need to express it through touch. Maybe you need to do something kind for somebody. Your choice. Your response. Maybe you need to accept the embrace of God. But a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another, it's really important to say and mean, I love you. A mum, a dad, we need to express it to them. We need to express it to our children. I love you. I love the fact that all of my grandchildren, I say, I've got something to say to you. And they say, yeah, I know, you love us. I love the fact they know Pop loves them. I love the fact they get all gooey about it. But I show them not just in word, back it up with action, because we're for them. We want them to know these senior people that believe in them and believe in the potential of their lives. We can make an incredible difference in this world because the world needs love, real love. And we need to be able to express it in all of these ways. Let's pray together as we close. If you're a person who has never experienced the love of God personally, I want to encourage you to reach out and to accept that God loves you through Jesus and take hold of him. If you're a person who finds it difficult to express the love of God, I want to encourage you to ask God to help you do that. If you're thinking of someone or a situation or a circumstance right now, ask God, God, supernaturally pour your love into my heart so that I can love this person and give me the means, maybe a card, maybe something I do, maybe I need to say something. But help me. Father, thank you that while we were still separated from you, you loved us. And Jesus died for us. Thank you that we can experience your embrace. And thank you that as a result, you give us the capacity to love other people. Lord, by your Spirit, enable us to do that, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.